Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy hump day, everybody. Wednesday evening with your favorite podcast, the Voice of Indie Podcast. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and this is episode number 113. And with me again for most of these and all of these 113s is Mr. Stephen Gies. How you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing fine. You know, one of my favorite podcasts, too. I never miss an episode. Never miss an episode. And I even go back and listen to them in the archives sometimes. Yeah, those of you out there who have signed up for our newsletter in order to make sure that you get the link to the episodes, we've discovered we have a broken link on the homepage at freshinkgroup.com. We think we've gotten all your subscriptions, but if you've ever subscribed to our newsletter and then not started receiving it every Wednesday morning, we're going to ask you to go back to freshinkgroup.com and go to the podcast page and sign up again there. And our webmaster is working on it. At the top of the podcast page. And
there's
our webmaster is working on
it.
Just click that button and act like you know what you're doing. But our webmaster is working on it. We'll try to get that fixed in the next couple of days. But thanks to Mary Schmidt for helping us discover the broken link. Now, we do have one big announcement to make. One of our authors, retired Naval Lieutenant Commander Jerry L. Pate's book, Submariner, has hit number one in the Amazon bestsellers in its category, and the soft cover hit number seven this week. So congratulations to Jerry for a number one bestseller. And we're definitely seeing the numbers flying out there, so good for him. And he's also got a whole bunch of copies that he's offering for sale, too, if people want to get in on that. And he'll be making some appearances in the coming months as well. So we'll make sure we cover that stuff in the newsletter. But so far, the response has been terrific. Congratulations, Jerry and Robert G. Willis-Croft, who helped him compile it and work on the book. Both of you have done a terrific job, and it's a book everybody's proud of. We're certainly proud of it here at Fresh Ink Group.
Yes, we are.
Call people up and brag. Yeah, that book, Submariner? Yeah, that was us. Uh-huh. But at any rate, congratulations, Jerry.
Congratulations. Yeah, Jerry. Well done. Now, I'm going to throw this out here on Twitter here because Verwang got this in early. He's got a new one out, and it's his Vela book. My Vela in the Marsh has become an e-book with the paperback and Audible versions shortly behind it. A woman leaves a New Year's Eve party and is never seen alive again. Follow the investigation as the killer continues his spree of murder. So that's over there on Amazon.com. Just type in Verwang Greenhoe books and you can find it. Or just type in the Marsh by Verwang Greenhoe and you can find it. Or go over to the Twitter hashtag Fresh Ink Group and the link is right there in his tweet. Now, speaking of his tweet, if you want to participate in this show as Verwang has, you got a question or a comment for tonight's guest, you can use that method or you can use the phone. And here is how you can do both of those.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Be there.
Yeah, right. No telling who we'll get calls from tonight because our guest is a very popular lady out there. But
yeah.
We want to give a shout out to Florida. We've got a bunch of authors in Florida, Central Florida especially, and down close to Miami is where Karen Ingalls is, but Kanoi K, and we've got a bunch of them down there. And right now they're dealing with some messy, messy weather. If you don't believe me, turn on your favorite news channel and watch some of the live footage. It's getting kind of messy. So shout out to all of our authors and everybody in the state of Florida. Hang in there, get through
stay
this,
safe.
And let's hope this turns out to be more bluster than danger.
Yeah.
Now we've got a book coming out tomorrow by Patricia A. Guthrie. It's been in pre-sale for the past month. And it's been doing very well in the pre-sale. And it's called Water Lilies Over My Grave. Have you heard of this book, Beam?
I have, as a matter of fact. I did the editing on it, and I can tell you it is a stellar novel, a stellar story. It is, it's one of these books that you can't put down once you start reading. And I mean that, seriously, not because I did the editing, but Patricia Guthrie is just a fantastic storyteller. If you haven't read any of her stuff, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, what are you waiting for? She's got other stuff, too. But, yeah, that's even the cover of that book is really cool. I like the look of it. But
yeah,
Pat Guthrie's been doing real well lately, and we want to keep building her audience. So spread the word.
Yeah, definitely. Now, the aforementioned Submariner is out now, and there is a book trailer video over on the YouTube channel for Fresh Ink Group. So go over to YouTube, type in Fresh Ink Group, and while you're over there, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you're not already subscribed, and you'll find out when we have new stuff coming out, new videos and all that good stuff. Also, Practical Problems is out now. This is a book of plays that it's written for the stage. It's by J. Ash Looney, and we also have a video for that one. Now, if you're an author and you want to learn how to write plays, get this book. J. Ash Looney is a really good playwright. This is what this is his forte. This is what he does best. And he's been doing it for years, and he gets his stuff on stage all the time. So if you want to learn how to write a play, Practical Problems by J. Ash Looney.
And keep in mind, too, he's not just a writer of plays, but he's been a longtime producer of plays, talent manager and all that. So he knows the entire business from the box office to the staffing to all that kind of stuff. So when he writes a play, he's writing it, you know, in a practical way that can be staged and other organizations can use.
Now, we mentioned a little while ago about the newsletter, the button at the link broken at the bottom of the front page of the FreshInkGroup.com site. Well, if you go to FreshInkGroup.com and click on podcast, at the very top of it, there's a button that basically says click here to sign up for our newsletter. You can click on that one and it'll take you right to the form, and it's an easy way to do it. We're going to fix that newsletter button at the front of the page. But in the meantime, here's a little something else about the newsletter.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of FreshInkGroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
Yeah. It's time to talk about our print bestsellers that's happening right now. These are 30-day aggregates. Over the last 30 days, which print books published by Fresh Ink Group are selling the most copies? And, what a surprise here. Number one, Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. And according to the numbers here, for every 63 hardcovers, he's selling 100 softcovers. Let me try that again. For every 63 hardcovers, he's selling 100 softcovers. So the softcover hardcover ratio is terrific, especially since the hardcovers are where the money is. Those are the number one and two slots. Number three, we've still got Still Not Enough, Minority Millennials in the Workforce, which is continuing to chug along and do very well. Just now, being described Practical Problems, 10 Stories for the Stage by J. Ash Looney. That's coming in the number four slot right now. And then in the number five slot, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon. We published this book in 2016, and it still continues to be one of our top five bestsellers 6.5 years later, which is what we like.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Jerry Pate, Janelle A. Jordan, J. Ash Looney, and Mark Herndon for making our top five list this week.
Congratulations, one and all. Now, audiobooks. I just received notice, an email from the voice artist who is narrating Jenny Wong's Girl Wears Those Shoes. And she said she is about finished with the final chapter, and I should be receiving that any day now. And when that's done, I will work my magic on. And that book should be out real soon. And so we're finished with the main part of Mad Max and Sweet Sarah by Ellie Collins. But we're waiting on some rereads on the lines. There are certain areas up there in the Pacific Northwest that are pronounced certain ways that the author didn't know because he's not from that area. So he re-records those and gets those to me, and that one should be out shortly thereafter as well. So keep an eye out for those. And if you want an episode or you want to relive a favorite episode or, hey, you're new to the program, guess what? We've got an archive with all of these shows that we've done, 112 of them so far. This is the 113th tonight, and here's where you can find these shows in our archives.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
Boom. Let's go ahead and roll the Carters, and then we'll introduce our guest.
All right.
So come join the fun, make comments, ask questions. We hope to see you at Meet the Author Podcast Live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find all the program links at indiebooksource.com.
All right.
Yeah, that's
the shorter version.
Yeah, that Meet the Author podcast is on the hour before us every Wednesday, and it's a video podcast. And they've got some great authors, so it's worth checking out. And
there's a lot of authors on there that have been on here and that have been on there. So.
And the Carters are authors as well, and they understand the business, and they're pretty cool. So we like to support them, and we appreciate their support for us. Now, let's talk about today's guest. We actually have one that I could drive down the street and shake hands with if we wanted to, Marlena Smith Burris, and she goes by the author name Marlena Smith, so we're going to call her Marlena Smith from here out. She's in Cullman, Alabama. Marlena Smith is a multi-genre author who uses her own small-town life experiences to create stories of the same. Her publications include The Intruder, a short thriller, Ella, a romantic novel, Writing Prompts to Bring Out Your Dark Side, and a whole bunch more, plus the new book that we're going to be talking about today. Marlena grew up in Alabama with a love of words and creativity. She still lives in that small town today with her family and has never lost that passion. She spends her days working with churches to help them grow and her nights creating sales. Yeah. Welcome to the show for the second time, because she was a guest last year as well, Marlena.
Welcome, Marlena.
Hi, fellas.
Hey.
Always good to have you on.
Yeah.
You're like a breath of fresh air. You're like sunshine.
Yeah,
we were
noticing all your supporters out there helping promote your appearance on the show tonight too. So thank you, everybody out there who was doing that. And who knows? Okay. Maybe we'll get some phone calls from last names like Guthrie, Sykes, Plano, Finn. Finn, you just never know who might call in.
Yeah.
So, Marlena, you said you grew up in Cullman. You still live in Cullman. Have you ever lived anywhere outside of Cullman, or is Cullman the place?
Cullman is the place. I've, of course, growing up and everything, I thought about moving to some big city and everything, but I've just always been here. This has always just been home. It's where all my family's from and still lives here, so it's kind of my place.
I love the town of Cullman. It's your typical southern Alabama style town with three or four streets, mm-hmm. Is pretty much the whole thing with the old style buildings and, a few quirky restaurants and whatnot. And,
yes.
What's the name of that place we went to lunch? Strings or something like that?
Yeah. Italian place.
Well, no, the Italian place was a different one. I went with Marlena one time to a place called, the deli place. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
It was a Carlton.
Yeah. Yeah. But at any rate, So odds are you will probably ride Cullman all the way to the end, and it's a beautiful place, beautiful country. You certainly couldn't do any worse, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, you like to write. Is this something that you've been doing for a long time, or is this, in recent years, hey, I want to be a writer?
It's pretty much always been a part of my life since grade school, really. I remember we had an old dot matrix printer, which now would be a dinosaur. but I actually still have some of my stories that I typed up and printed from well back then. It's been definitely a part of my life for as long as I can remember. And, of course, I've taken some time off, but I kind of always end up going back to it just because it kind of, I don't know, it feels like it's where I'm supposed to be.
I like that, where you're supposed to be. When
where
it feels right, it feels right.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
So, Beam, you want to go ahead and say hello to Dr. Helen real quick, and then we got another call after that?
Yeah. All right. Then we're going to go to Dr. Helen here.
Hey, I'm not going to be so quick. two sentences.
Keep your finger on the button, Beam.
Okay.
I want to congratulate Marlena first.
Hi, Dr. Helen.
Hi. You can call me Helen.
Thank you.
Let me just say, I'm always interested in the writer's process, but I'd like to mention, because I'm up here at this rehab facility due to walking problems, that any writer looking for material both sad and humorous ought to spend some time as a faux patient here at this quote-unquote rehab hospital. Characters galore. Let me just say, I have one final sentence. Staff ranges from empathic to cold and callous. And I believe that some of the RNs went to the Mickey Mouse School of Nursing. That's all I have to say about that. But I'm not kidding. This is so much material here.
Well, that's
and guess
how a
what?
Lot of
they
people
say
write
they have
their
a computer,
story.
But I don't think I could use it. I mean, singly, because I'd have to share it, because I have books to write about this experience.
Yeah. Well, take notes on a pad for now, and then when you get back to your computer, be ready to go, because I'm interested. I want to hear about the crazy lady who attacked you, you know, some of that stuff, so sure.
Yeah, but you want to visit that Mickey Mouse School of Nursing, because there are a lot of the graduates are here. But anyway, let's get on with Marlena.
Yes. Well, thanks for calling,
okay.
Dr. Helen. We appreciate you checking in.
Congratulations to everything you do. I don't have a chance to see the notices because I don't have a computer here. There is a computer upstairs, but I wouldn't have access to it. So.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you being here.
I love this soiree,
the fig soiree.
The fig soiree.
The
keep
fig
listening,
Wednesday soiree.
Yes.
So let me hear all about Marlena and her book.
All right. We'll talk soon, Dr. Helen.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So now we're going to go to the other caller. This is area code 708. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Patricia Guthrie, and I'm from...
Hi, Patricia.
Hey.
Welcome
Hi,
to the show.
We
Hi,
were
Patricia.
Praising.
I see you online all the time, and I'm really interested in your book on writing prompts for the dark side.
Ooh. Didn't think you needed any, Pat.
I know,
yeah.
You know? You can always get new ideas.
Yep.
I love the dark side. I can't help it. But you know what I wanted to know, what I was very interested in when I was reading your biography, is your work with the caricature. What do you do? How do you do? What is your role in that?
With the churches?
I was curious about that too.
Well, actually, the company I work for is called Backstage Productions. So they specialize in like the audio, video, lighting of the event world and concerts and that kind of thing. But under their umbrella, they have the Churches to Go platform, which is where I come in. Most people see churches show up every so often anyway, no matter what kind of town you live in. So my job is to help those churches, help them fill their stages or their classrooms, give them ideas for decorations and just make sure they have all the audio, video, lighting gear that they need and everything, just to help them from those first steps of kind of the brainstorming ideas all the way to officially launching their first Sunday service.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I've been there for about a year now, and it's a really neat job. It's very rewarding because I get to talk to the pastors and their creative directors and stuff. And growing up as a preacher's kid, I don't know, it just kind of fits me.
Yeah, I guess. I know my church is really down in its enrollment, just terribly down. And I understand that's the fate of an awful lot of churches going under. Or, you know, like that. And so I was just wondering, I know we're looking for a new priest. We're going through a search committee looking for a new minister there. And so that's really all.
Yeah, that's an issue there, Patricia. Coming out of COVID, I mean, we lost probably half of our congregation at church. Many of them they're scared to get into crowds and all this stuff. And well, you know, can't do anything about that, I guess.
No, but unfortunately we lost our minister about a year and a half ago or so. So we have to go through a whole process. I belong to the Anglican Church, so we have our own ways of doing things, I guess. Anyway.
That's interesting about, you know, coming out of COVID having such a difference. I know one woman, for example, who was a regular churchgoer, and she hasn't gone back. She says she found an online church that she likes.
Yeah.
And she's happy with that now. But, you know, online, you don't have that fellowship, and that's one of the big things churches are. It's your social. You know, that's how you meet people. That's how you find friends that are of like mind of you and all that kind of stuff. So it seems to she's giving up a big portion of the church experience. But on the other hand, she's focusing on the religion, you know.
Yeah, you know, we're online every Sunday. In fact, I do a lot of times I do the tech booth and get us up online through the internet. And, you know, the people that haven't come back are still online viewing. But we have like one woman there. She's so scared, she won't even do her own grocery shopping. They have people at church that go and pick up her groceries for her. Scared to even let them in the house. And it's just, I mean, it's something that's into her head now. I mean, she's elderly. She's up there. So I don't know if that's the only thing that she's got going. But, you know, it's sad to see because she was always there, always helpful, and now she's just kind of in the ether.
Yeah. Well, I changed churches because this apartment building that I'm living in now has a lot of like-minded people as myself, and I've changed churches for not permanently probably, but you know, and I also Zoom a lot. I Zoom my own church too.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Times are changing.
I want to hear about Marlene's book.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk thoroughly about that here in a little bit. Was there any other questions that you had, Pat?
No.
Okay.
No.
We're going to go ahead and roll a commercial then and come back
thanks
and talk
for
to
doing
Marlene
church
some more.
Talk, Pat.
Yeah, thanks for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Now, wonder what this commercial would be, Pat.
All right, here we go.
Psychologist Annabelle O'Brien flees from her psychotic ex-husband in New York City, only to find he is stalking her across the country with deadly intentions. She takes a job in the resort town of Lake Nage. When a series of attacks place her in even greater danger, Annabelle turns to hostile burnout of a detective, Mark Driscoll, who is assigned to protect her. Then, two women who resemble her are murdered, and the town is gripped with fear. Mark and Annabelle must work together to catch the killer before he catches them. From the celebrated author of such bestsellers as Legacy of Danger and her collection, Eerie Charms of the Short Story,
Water Lilies Over My Grave is a novel of psychological suspense about one woman searching for a new life, even as she is threatened by her old one. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Water Lilies Over My Grave is available in all print and digital formats worldwide.
A fine book.
Yes, indeed.
So, Marlena, what was it like growing up as the preacher's kid? Did you have any brothers and sisters? What was your family like back then?
One older sister. Her and I actually had very different personalities growing up. There was about 3.5 years age difference, but it was a huge difference for us, I guess, growing up. But now we're a lot closer. So that's a huge difference from when we were little. But I don't know, growing up as, you know, in a preacher's family was, it was really special to me. We had special relationships with the churches and everything. And my dad preached at two different churches, special bonds and everything with certain people at the churches. And it was really hard to say goodbye when it was time to change our path. But as a preacher's kid, I often got delegated certain tasks. of course.
I'll bet.
I was actually over children's church at one of the churches, and I absolutely loved that. It was such a good experience. Rewarding, you know, being able to teach kids and be around kids and teach them those important facts that they need to know. And so it was really neat growing up like that. And to this day, I hate that he is no longer preaching, but kind of like what Patricia said, you know, the church, we're Methodist. So our church has a certain way of doing things as well. And my dad was never a full-time preacher. So they gave positions to all those that were full-time, and dad just kind of fell down the ladder, so to speak. It just didn't get appointed anywhere else. So, yeah, that's always made me sad that he stopped preaching.
Yeah, the big schism in the Methodist church really shook up a lot of things, too. Everybody I know that's Methodist, you know, a lot of them wound up changing churches or realigning and things like that. So that's still playing out, and probably will play out for a few more years before it comes stable again. But did you ever feel like you had the spotlight on you as the preacher's kid? I mean, you wanted to, you know, smoke cigars and rob banks, but everybody was watching you and judging you all the time.
You know, it's funny. I've always been such a goody-goody.
I
know, right? The preacher's kid's supposed to be the, you know, the rebel and everything, but I was never really like that. And I did sometimes feel like the spotlight was on me. I mean, I was good with the kids, and I grew up singing in church too, so that didn't help. I had the spotlight on me quite often.
Well, that was your family back then. Tell us about your family now.
I actually got married just in April.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Apparently it was
kind
a
of
secret.
In the newlyweds.
Apparently it was a secret because it didn't get into our newsletter, you know.
Oops. but we've been together for 6, almost 7 years. So it feels like the whole lot didn't really change other than our titles and my name.
Yeah. And the legal protections, which is
a big
that's one.
True. That's true.
Especially with a little girl.
A 12-year-old. Yes, he has a 12-year-old little girl, so now I have a bonus daughter, and it's almost comical. I mean, I knew my husband, Will, I knew him before we ever started dating, everybody was friends and everything, so I have been a part of Kelsey's life for a really long time, since she was about 3 years old, so I've known her for pretty much her whole life. So it's really funny now because she's actually a lot like me. And so it just works really well together.
So she's a goody two-shoes too, huh?
She is. She's such a good kid.
Well, what kind of, what kind,
has, I was just like, she has tendencies to be a smart aleck like her daddy.
What kind of stuff do you do with her? I mean, what interests do you have in common? Do you do anything together?
We do. We are we're big into video games as a family. We play games together and stuff, and then we're all artsy and crafty. So that's something else we'll break out the big card table and all the paint boxes and canvases and stuff. So and she actually she used to be obsessed with reading like I am. As she's gotten older, she's actually gotten more into graphic novels and stuff. But she still gets really excited about my book.
Oh, yeah.
So I love that we have that kind of special bond over the books and writing and everything. So
you may be sensing a young writer in her?
I could see that, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, encourage that. Definitely encourage that.
Definitely.
That's cool.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because hey, I mean, we've got an author, Ellie Collins. I mean, she 11, Stephen, when she published her first novel?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
12 was her second novel.
And
she's
doing these audio books for her, I can tell you, she's a really good writer. So, encourage that. Encourage that. Now, Marlena, with the artsy crafty stuff and gaming and all that. What other kind of hobbies and interests do you have? How do you spend your time when you're not writing or you're not doing arts and crafts and playing video games?
I mean, what else is there?
Well, there's Alabama. There's the outdoors.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, we are a very outdoorsy family. We have a boat, so we will go out on the lake. One thing that Coleman has is Smith Lake. Huge, huge lake that actually crosses over to a couple counties. But so we'll do that when we have nice weather. Kelsey loves to be out on the tube, and I just watch. I like to enjoy the scenery and the peacefulness of being out on the boat. We also go caving sometimes, which to me is probably the most extreme thing I've ever done. Yes.
You're in the best part of the world. For caving of the world.
Yes.
We have the highest
yes.
concentration of caves in Northeast Alabama and the south corner of Tennessee of any place on the planet. It's something like
yes.
200 caves per square mile. It's an outrageous.
Isn't that crazy?
They're everywhere. I mean,
yes.
you drive down a road and you look and you see caves in the cliffs and stuff. But
yes.
of course, have you been to Cathedral Caverns?
No, they won't. That's more of a tourist cave, as they call it.
Uh-huh.
So we don't go to that one.
Oh, okay. Well, it is spectacular.
I used to go to that one when I was
a kid. We'd come down and visit relatives in Alabama, and I'd go in there, and it was all primitive way back then, just add a few lights and stuff. Now, you can
yes.
get a wheelchair 1.5 miles back into this cave with a paved
yes.
trail. It's still
They
beautiful,
changed so
though.
Much in it.
Yeah.
Marlena, since you do the caving, do you ever do this for?
Do what? I'm sorry, my phone cut out.
Spelunking? Cave diving?
You know, I'm dangerous. I tried rappelling the first time a couple years back, and like I said, it was my first time. I had never done it before, and I didn't know exactly what I was doing. And I ended up slipping and smashing my hand, or my fingers, rather, between the rope and this big boulder. So I haven't tried it again since then. I'm a little scarred from that. But
yeah.
I will say that was at the entrance of the cave, and I did not stop. I kept going because I was determined.
Well, at least you didn't have to cut your arm off like that guy did trapped out west that time.
James
what was
Franco.
That movie?
James
yeah, 127,
yeah, James
127
Franco
hours.
Cut his arm off.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now every movie he's in, he's missing that arm. Because he's such a method actor, he really cut it off.
Yeah.
We do have some stuff over here on Twitter. You want to read some of these, Stephen?
If you'll start, because I was looking up
okay.
Smith Lake.
All right. Robert G. Willis Cross says a shout out to Jerry Pate for reaching Amazon number one bestseller for aviation and marine by Jerry. And Verwayne Greenhoe says, we are here. Me, not completely, but let's go. And Joe Congo.
Go ahead.
You want to read that?
It says, hi, Mylena. Gotta know, are you a pantser or a plotter?
I was working on a couple blog posts this week, and one of the questions had to do with that. And I'm like, you know, I'm more of the idea hits, and I just got to get all those thoughts out there onto the paper, onto the computer, whatever it is. But once I'm done with that first draft, that's when I'll start with some type of an outline. And I'll go through and make some important notes. But that is when I'm able to see the full picture and see where I need to add stuff or take away stuff. And, you know, I'm able to see, like, timing issues and character issues and stuff like that. So I mean, I guess I'm definitely a plotter, but I become a pantser. In between, maybe?
Yeah.
A plantser?
I think everybody's somewhere in between. The ones who consider themselves pantsers, a lot of times they're doing that outlining in their head. They're just not writing it down. And a lot of people who rely heavily on outlines, you still have to have that spontaneity. You know, I like to, when I'm working on my outline, I like to also be writing the first chapter at the same time, just to try out writing styles and the voices and get to know the characters and stuff too. So, yeah, somewhere in between sounds like a fair answer, Marlena.
Yeah. Now, we do have an update from Verwayne on the weather. He says, we have a lot of wind and a fair amount of rain, but nowhere near as bad as they had predicted. We made a hard right turn away from us toward Jacksonville. We are keeping the rest of Florida in our prayers, as are we. And I see down here that it's that Fort Myers area, which is where I used to live, that's getting pretty well hit. So stay safe, everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Do you want to roll a commercial beam?
Sure thing. Let's do this one.
Submariner. 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. Jerry Pate's semi-autobiographical collection of 60 stories recounts his 30 years in and around the U.S. Navy submarine fleet, ranging from lighthearted to wrenching. All are poignant inside looks at naval operations rarely seen by outsiders. Topics include the real story behind the shuttle Challenger tragedy, risking his own life underwater, discovering a Soviet spy living across the street, surviving when an engine ignites, critical missions, and the everyday lives of men and women of the fleet. Compiled by author Robert G. Willis Croft and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Submariner is available worldwide in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Dive into Submariner for hijinks and breathtaking adventure with this poignant memoir by a true American hero.
Now, that book's been technically out for less than 2 weeks, I believe, and so far it has more than 12 reviews on Amazon, average 4.9 stars. And that's a pretty quick rate to be starting to rack up those reviews, too, for a book that's come out. Yeah, so congratulations again, Jerry Pate. We keep saying that tonight, but he certainly deserves it.
Okay, so we've already did the whole writing process with the Pantser Planter. Marlena, where do your story ideas come from? I've read a couple. I read The Intruder and Ella. Where do you get these ideas from?
I would say most of my ideas come from dreams.
Dreams?
Yes, especially as I've gotten older, I would say my dreams have become super vivid.
Wow.
I think the weirdest part of my dreams is it's usually not about people I know. It's almost like I'm watching a movie play out, which sounds crazy saying that out loud. but yeah, that's definitely where most of the ideas come from. Occasionally, I may overhear a conversation or see something unique at the coffee shop or something random like that. I've said for a very long time that inspiration can really be anywhere. So, and I definitely feel that's true.
Now, I'm looking at 14 book covers here. Most of these are journals. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You want to explain that?
Well, tonight's book that we're going to talk about, Power of Love, was actually the first book cover I ever created. Someone had told me about Canva, a website, and so I just kind of started playing around on that and kind of fell in love with creating book covers. And the more I kind of played around with the website and stuff and the design, I kind of hated sitting on all these covers and them not being used, because there's no way I'm going to be able to publish all these books. I don't know. I just started playing around with some more ideas and saw where Wendy Scott, one of the people from our writing circle, she has put out a few prompt books and notebooks and stuff. And I guess I kind of got the idea slightly from her. It just kind of diamonded from there, and I just started putting out notebooks and some planners. There's even an appreciation journal that has some quotes in it from at the tops of certain pages. And I had a lot of fun with all the random designing, I guess.
Well, cool. Definitely cool. Maybe one of these days you'll have a journal on there with a teenage girl's design on it as well.
Maybe.
Or a 12-year-old, depending on how fast she gets on this, huh? All right. So then the book Ella, that's a novel, a short novel. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
Oh, Ella. This story idea came just from the cover. Again, just playing around with some design, and I don't know what it was about this cover, but I fell in love with the kind of the look of this female that was on the cover. So that's kind of what spawned the idea of the whole story. And being from a small town, I always feel, I guess, almost inclined to include a small town setting. So this story is specifically about Ella. She is a journalist. She's kind of had a bad time of her life and everything, and she ends up getting stranded in a small town. And that's pretty much the gist of it. Things just kind of domino from there. It's the harvest season, so Halloween's coming up and everything. And she doesn't know when her car is going to get fixed, but she ends up being introduced to some really nice and hospitable townspeople that kind of just welcome her as part of the community. It's just a cute little sweet story, I think.
Yeah, that's one that I read. That's what I thought. It was a very sweet story, and mm-hmm. It reminded me of a story, the type of story that hopefully I get this author's name right, Jeanette Oakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
She does the
love movies, yes, and the love stories.
Movies and stories, yeah. That's what it reminded me of. Like it was in that kind of caliber. I mean, it was a sweet story like that, and anybody that's a Jeanette Oakes fan, you'll really enjoy this story.
Yeah, it's just Oakey, O-K-E, Jeanette Oakey.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I actually can remember in high school, I always picked out a Jeanette Oak book because I was obsessed with her writing. So that's an honor to be grouped into that category.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
I mean, like I said, yeah, that's when I read that, I thought, wow, this would, you know, be a companion to those kind of stories.
Yeah. Hallmark made a series of movies from her books too, love movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up watching all of those. They were all excellent. Every one of them.
Yeah, I watched most of them.
Good stories, good characters. They were family sagas, you know, the next generation, moving out west, and all those things. And it's not normally my kind of story, but I just got kind of hooked on those and watched all of them. She's such a good writer. So to be compared to her, that's pretty good. I figure sometime next year or two, they'll be comparing her to you.
Now, another one, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. Go ahead, please.
All right. Yeah, now another one that I read was The Intruder. This one's a little darker, thrillery type of the thriller. So tell us a little bit about this, and did this come to you as well? Because if it did, those are like nightmares.
I am such a horror fanatic. I love the movies and the books and everything spooky. I can't even remember the first time I ever watched a scary movie, but I've always been obsessed. And this, The Intruder, was actually the very first thing I officially published. And it's very short. It's a super short thriller. It's only available as an ebook because it's so short. But I fell in love with the story so much that I had to publish it. The Intruder is about Serenity. Serenity is kind of living a life away from everyone and everything she's ever known. She kind of reminds me of someone that was really affected by COVID. COVID is not part of the story, but she's very secluded. She doesn't socialize a lot or anything. So it reminds me of that kind of, kind of demeanor. But her life just kind of starts falling apart when she finds some strange pictures on her phone. So that's kind of what starts everything for her. The idea came, I believe, from an actual writing prompt that I found on like Pinterest or somewhere random. And so I just kind of went with the idea. And it's so funny because most of my stories are all lovey-dovey, you know. They're all matters of the heart. So this one, to come out like it did, was just very surprising, even to me, being a scary movie person. But like I said, I love the story so much that I had to publish it, and I'm really glad that I did.
Yeah, it was one I enjoyed. It was the darkness of it. That's what I enjoyed, because I like the horror type, the spooky movies as well. I wouldn't call it a horror, but it's definitely spooky. It's got that dark angle to it.
Yes.
And a cover, and a cover that suggests it as well, a woman with anguish in her face.
Yes.
Yeah. So you want to roll a commercial?
Sure. Let me pop over here real quick and see if we're all caught up on Twitter. And we got one more. Joe Conjo says, congratulations on getting married, Marlena. As a multi-genre author, do you have a genre you prefer or gravitate to more than others? We'll hold that until we get out of the commercial.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we'll come back to it and you can answer that question.
Discover Practical Problems, 10 Stories for the Stage by Jay Ashlooney. In Goin' Legit, mobsters seek a conventional bank loan with hilarious results. In The Angry Ashtray, an inanimate object comes to life and has a surprising view about familiarity. In Blues Man Brando, actor Marlon Brando pays a surprising and surreal visit to a suburban family. In Up From the Ashes, a local historical society decides to turn back the clock, way back. In A Hard Way's Night, an aging rock band regroups to bid goodbye to the grungy ballroom where they got their start. And in The Three Christs of Ypsilanti, based entirely upon a true story, three psychotics attempt to convince a psychologist they are each the son of God. There are four more stories too delicious to summarize, by Jay Ashlooney and published proudly by Fresh Ink Group in soft, hard, and all digital formats. Practical Problems delivers what it promises.
Yeah, check out the video for that over on YouTube. Make sure you like it, share it, and subscribe to the Fresh Ink Group channel. I noticed we picked up a few more subscribers this week, so I had to get up and do my little dance.
All right. So
I've got a quick Twitter tip here, too, for you. I didn't see those last two tweets. Apparently, I had accidentally clicked on top at some point here.
Okay.
So those of you who are following on Twitter, make sure you click latest, the second tab over. It says top, latest, people, photos, videos. Make sure you click on latest, and you'll see them popping up as they're actually posted.
Yeah. So, Marlena, do you prefer, do you have a genre you prefer or gravitate to more than others?
You know, I used to would say romance. I mean, I'm a hopeless romantic, you know, after all. But there has definitely been some surprising ideas coming out of, well, like I said, my dreams and stuff. I've had a lot of apocalyptic, dystopian-like dreams.
Ooh.
And so, and those have come out to be, like, really interesting ideas that I may run with. I just don't know if I got to get in the right mindset to do that kind of writing.
Well, that explains the screaming I keep hearing in the middle of the night from the Coleman direction.
Yes, that's it. That's, I'm guilty.
All right. So let's see. What am I doing now here?
Let's talk about the new book, The Power of Love.
Yeah. Before we do, I was kind of thinking of something along the lines of these book covers. You're talking about you make these book covers and all that. Do you ever make book covers for other authors? Do you, you know, like post them on your website or your blog and say, hey, you need a cover? I've got some.
I do actually have a page on my website, the Scribblings of a Southern Belle website, where it has several of the covers that I've created that's more along a fiction story. So I do have some there that for people that are interested. Not as often, but occasionally I may post them on like Instagram and stuff. But they are available and, of course, editing where it's needed for the cover-wise. So yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Thank you for asking.
Well,
yeah,
you'd also be interested if someone wanted a custom cover, right? Not something that you'd already started working on, but just came to you with some ideas and the two of them were coming together. Well, most of our audience
absolutely.
Is indie authors, so this is good for them to know because a lot of people are self-publishing and they're looking for good sources for covers where they can get quality work that, you know, something that they can afford as well. And what I'm looking at here is a whole bunch of very nice covers. So I'm going to give this my endorsement. Beam, how about you?
I'll give it two thumbs up.
There you go. So, yeah, if you're an indie author and you're looking for covers, consider Marlena Smith. And like she said, she's got a page on her website, and she does some very nice work here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And speaking
now,
of nice
the power
covers,
of love.
The power of love.
It's not just a Celine Dion song.
So what is the power of love, Marlena?
This story is something that I have battled with for several years. I had some, I guess, negative issues right after I finished my first couple of rewrites, I guess. So I actually put the story away for a very long time just because I felt kind of defeated with it. And then I started putting out these other books like Ella and the Intruder, and I kind of got that hope back into me. And I don't know, the power of love, just the whole idea of it never really went anywhere. It always just kept resurfacing. So I finally decided to put focus into it. And I did countless rewrites and revisions trying to make it just right. And then finally, I just kind of got tired of it. So I finally just sent it to my editor and said, here, work your magic. But The Power of Love is about Scarlett. She is in a very bad marriage, and she decides that pretty much the only option is to run away, which she does, and she ends up in a very small town, surprising, I know, but she ends up in Belmont, Montana. And this town gives her a little bit more hope and kind of helps her see her independence and her freedom. And it is just another sweet story with a little bit of definitely some tension and some wondering of what will happen.
Now, this Belmont, Montana, is this a real place or is this something you created?
You know, actually, I'm glad you asked that. Okay, so the Scarlet, the family that she's running away from, is California. And so I wanted something that made sense for her to run away to, somewhere that wasn't across the U.S., but you know, a reasonable proximity. This is how my mind works, by the way. So I pulled up Google Maps, and I was like, Montana sounds good. It's a place I've always wanted to visit because that's where all the wild horses are. Again,
I think
this
that's
is
their,
how my
their
head
slogan.
Works.
Isn't that their slogan? Montana sounds good.
And so I just started playing around on the map and doing a little bit of research, and I found this little blip called Belmont, and I was like, oh my god, that's it. And it's actually this really small town in Montana, but I didn't want to ruin anything, so I started to do research on the town, but I didn't want to ruin anything or accidentally use something I didn't need to use, so I just strictly used just the name.
Wow.
Yeah, the research, I mean, that kind of adds, a realism to it, especially if somebody's been there and they're reading your book. Hey, yeah, that ice cream shop right there that she just stopped at, I went there.
Yes. Good point.
That could be a two-edged sword, though, because I read a book by a guy, and he placed it in Ann Arbor, where I lived for many years, Ann Arbor, Michigan, University of Michigan campus area. And as he's describing the scenes, he had like a chase down what I know is a one-way street going the other direction. And, you know, there were things in there that were not quite authentic. Somebody's like looking at a map and thinking, oh, okay, you know, and sometimes it helps to actually go there or talk to some people there and get some of those details right. Or you can just use the name and run with it. And that's kind of cool either way. But you got to kind of go one way or another. If you're in between and you're pretending it's authentic, then people will find the mistakes and they'll stand out to them. And that one, for some reason, that really stood out to me. It's like, you can't go that direction on that street. Why are you writing this? Crazy people.
Yes.
Yeah. Liam, you want to roll another commercial? We're starting to wind down here on our time with Marlena.
All righty.
Four very different people find their very different lives intertwined as they put down roots in the city by the bay. Catherine is the withering transplant who learns to compromise her very soul for a budding career. Amanda reaches for the light with one man, while another shadows her with darkness. Matthew grows the reputation of immaculate university, but his secrets poison the very well sustaining too many people's words. Brad thrives on success in business and casual sex until love dares try to root in his heart. The vernal promise of springtime blazes in glorious color, even as hope and faith die. In the inevitable autumns, all must strive to survive. Greed, exploitation, hatred, and somehow love shaped the everyday, but might possibly in hope somehow endure amid new beginnings. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group worldwide in softcover and all ebook editions, check out The Autumn Tree by Aisha Esson.
That sounds very much like the kind of genre that Marlena likes to write.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now,
and
the
there's
power
a video
of
on YouTube for that.
Oh,
that,
yeah, cool video.
Book.
Yeah, with some very cool animations. We spent some time on that one.
Yeah.
The Power of Love, I'm looking at Amazon. I'm seeing there's a Kindle edition. There's also a paperback edition. Is this Amazon only, or is this also other retailers?
Amazon only, because that's all I know how to do.
Okay. Well, we should talk sometime. But the Kindle
edition
is $4.99. The paperback edition is $8.99, which is definitely a good price for a book. And it says that this was released September 20th. That would be 8 days ago. Cool.
Yeah. Yes, I haven't announced it.
Yeah, it's a brand new release. And yes. I'm not even seeing any ratings yet. This is brand new out there. Listen, listeners. Mm-hmm. This is a short read. It's compelling. It's interesting. It's fun. It's a great story by Marlena Smith. And if you hurry, you could be the first one to post your 5-star review.
True.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, Marlena, you mentioned an editor a couple of minutes ago. We like to ask people, you know, how they publish. In your case, you're self-publishing. We know that from our previous mm-hmm. interview, working primarily through Amazon here. But you mentioned an editor. You want to give a shout-out?
Yeah, that would be great. Her name is Rose Lipscomb. She is her own, well, she has her own company called Flawless Fiction. And she is local to my state, Alabama, and she actually lives maybe an hour from where I live.
Ooh, I live an hour from where you live. Is this
I know.
This woman is who's standing in the next room? I'm trying to...
Maybe.
Would you say her name again?
Rose. I've never spoken to her in person, so I may be saying her last name wrong, but it's Lipscomb.
Why don't you spell it? That
and
way
her,
people who want to write it down can get it.
Lipscomb.
Okay, Lipscomb, yeah. Rose Lipscomb, and you highly endorse her.
Yes, she is a sweetheart, and I love how she edits and explains things. And she makes my writing better. So, yes, I highly endorse her.
Cool. I'm looking here to see if she's got a website or something so that people can find her. Dr. Brandy Rose Lipscomb. No, I'm not seeing.
You could also
she's on Facebook.
You could try searching Flawless Fiction.
Flawless Fiction.
That's the name of her company too.
Okay. And just to let you know, Marlena, I just went over and bought The Power of Love.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's got a website, flawlessfiction.com. So thanks for the endorsement, Marlena. We like to spread the word and give people credit when they're out there helping indie authors accomplish their best possible work.
Yes,
indeed. Of course, yes.
So have you had some fan reaction? You talk to any fans? Apparently you've got a bunch of them on Twitter because they were out there promoting promoting your appearance tonight. What kind of fan interactions have you had? Favorite reviews? Met anybody? Death threats in the mail? Whatever?
Rocks through the window?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Death threats. Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah.
the writing community that we have on like Twitter and stuff, it's like nothing else. I know we were all part of a virtual book club years ago, and I love that I have maintained friendship with so many people, and I adore them so. And those are always the ones, and y'all are included in this, of course. Those are always the ones that are the first to support and everything and encourage. And I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, once that club turned toxic and most of the people left, it seemed like they all still kept in touch with each other and kind of maintained their own club, as it were. One of those people who's endorsing you today, Harmony Kent, we're interviewing her tomorrow morning for a pre-recorded podcast. She's over in England.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
we're looking forward to having a nice talk with her.
Dear.
Oh, she is. And she's uber supportive of indie authors. No
she is.
So yeah. Looking forward to that.
So speaking of indie authors, Marlena, do you have any advice for other authors that are just getting into the game, into the craft?
You know, one of the biggest things that I've probably dealt with is the negativity. And it comes from all ends, and I feel like it comes to you no matter what industry you choose. You're always going to have those naysayers, those that don't believe in your dream, those that belittle what you're doing. But at the end of the day, it's all about doing what you love. So just do it. Just try it. You know, make yourself happy. That's what matters.
Yeah.
Because that's it.
All right. So there's comes that time where when people are all negative and coming at you, you got to stand there and say, here's my ass. Kiss it or bite it. I don't care.
Yes.
Just leave me alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The robot on Futurama used to say, bite my shiny metal ass.
Yeah. That's a great line.
Yes.
Well, Marlena, how do people... How do people find you? How do people get a hold of you?
Website,
blog, all that kind of stuff?
Yes. Okay, so my website, my main writing website is scribblingsofasouthernbelle.wordpress.com. That's where you can find everything book-related and stuff. I am on Instagram and Twitter under the name Writer M. Smith. And then my Facebook page is under Author Marlena Smith.
Great. Do you want Facebook or Twitter or other places too?
Yes. Instagram and Twitter has the same name that just left it as that. It's Writer M. Smith.
Writer M. Smith.
I'm keeping my maiden name for all my writing stuff just because I tell people that's my daddy's name, so that's what I'm going to use on my books.
There you go. Yeah, once you establish a brand, that's what it's all about. It's not so much your name anymore. It's just your brand, your author brand. But,
indeed.
Yeah, and in a future newsletter, we want to put a little notice, too, about writings of a Scribblings of a Southern Belle.
Scribblingsofasouthernbelle.wordpress.com.
Yeah, and mention that you covered the design and stuff, too. We want to put that in the newsletter and let people know.
Oh,
Marlena, it's been a thrill having you on. This is the second time we've had you as a guest, and we certainly look forward to the third one next time you get a book out. And it's always fun talking to you. We've all known each other for many years. We met many years ago in that toxic club. You only live an hour from me, so we've had a chance to go out to lunch and all meet each other, and this has just been kind of a little fun reunion, and we appreciate you stopping by tonight.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Thank you all so much. I can't thank you enough for inviting me to the show and supporting me like you always do. There's nothing quite like Fresh Ink Group.
Well, that's a two-way street, because you've always been supportive of us, too, so... It's always fun to help those who you know, help us, and it's like a family.
Yep.
Exactly.
So, listeners, next week, we don't have a guest yet. We've had several guests fall through, so we're still working on lining up our guest, or we might do something like part two of our movies, or who knows? Who knows what's going to happen, but if you want to find out, subscribe to that newsletter. Go to freshinkgroup.com, click on the podcast tab, and at the top of the page there's a button that'll take you to the form. Sign up for that newsletter, and you'll know what's going on. But then the week after that, we've got the wife of Caleb Pirtle, Linda Pirtle. And she's a very popular writer, bestseller, and she does mysteries and thrillers and things like that, so we're really looking forward to having her. And then what do we got after that, Beam?
Well, the wife of Caleb Pirtle. Caleb Pirtle is one of the most popular episodes in our archive, so I'm hoping that we can carry some of that over into Linda being on the show as well, and I have a feeling we will. Following that, we've got Harmony Kent, which, as Stephen mentioned, we will be talking to her tomorrow, recording the episode, and you can hear it the pre-recorded on the week after Linda Pirtle, so tune in for that. And after that?
And after that, we have Jan Sykes, Texas writer, very prolific, very popular, and one of our favorite people. So we're looking forward to having Jan on the show. She was on last year, and we're going to have her back.
And after that, we've got a return visit with Marcia Fox. And this time she's bringing her writing partner, Pete Risingson. They write some great Native American-based novels. So tune in for that. And after that,
we've got an author who I'm not familiar with at all, Avanti Sentre. I'm not familiar with her work, and I know very little about her, but Beam booked her, and I'm looking forward to learning more about her. And then we'll have her on the show, and we'll all get to know more about her.
Well, she's a best-selling author. And it was her, some of her publicity people reached out and so I ended up booking her on that. But after that, we have the elusive, no, it's not elusive, but Stacey Troilo. We tried to get her on, probably a year ago, and, she was just quite busy, had a lot going on. So, we're finally able to wrangle her into an episode, and, we look forward to having her.
So everybody. We don't know what's happening next week, but we'll be here, and
we'll
hope you join us. We hope you join us, and call in, tweet, spread the word. Get over there to YouTube and subscribe to that channel. And thanks for supporting all of our authors and our guests, including Marlena Smith. Marlena Smith Burris, whose writer's name is Marlena, our guest tonight. Thanks for being on the show, Marlena. It's been a thrill.
Thank you all so much.
All
right. We'll see everybody else next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.